Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Shalene Quish to the broadcast. Shalene is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Ameristar Casinos. In that capacity, she leads the organization's information technology functions at the Las Vegas corporate headquarters and at the company's properties. Prior to her time at Ameristar, Shalene was CIO at large at her own firm, Box 9 Consulting, working with a number of companies on IT challenges including business process reengineering, IT department transformation, and project review and rescue. Prior to her time with Ninebox, Shalene was Vice President and Global CIO for US CAN Company, where she was responsible for the global infrastructure, 3 data centers, and a wide array of applications to support the company's 24 locations in 6 countries. Shalene also served as Senior Vice President, Insurance Operations and Information Technology with Unitrin Incorporated, where she consolidated the platforms, systems applications, and business operations across 3 companies in the Life and Health Division. Prior to her time with Unitrin, Shalene was Executive Vice President of Corporate Planning and Information Services with The Signature Group, an affinity marketing company, where she led major business systems integrations and strategic initiatives. Shalene also spent time as Senior Vice President and Partner of Bricker & Associates, a consulting firm, and was also Executive Vice President at Southeastern Mutual Insurance Company and managed the integration of operations of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield organizations of Kentucky and Indiana. Shalene holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from the College of New Rochelle. She is an emeritus member of the editorial board of CIO Magazine and has been a prolific writer and speaker in a variety of industry forums. I recently caught up with Shalene in her office in Las Vegas. Our conversation covered Principle 2, infrastructure, as Shalene discussed the balance between accepting risk and building new capabilities while ensuring that the company's infrastructure is reliable. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed Shalene's experience as a business executive prior to becoming an IT executive and how that colors her experience since switching over to IT. And as our first female CIO interviewee, we also discuss Shalene's experience as a woman in a division that has historically been dominated by men. Shalene Quish, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT.
Well, I'm very happy to be here. This should be a fun experience.
Excellent. Well, Shalene, I've been looking forward to this interview. As somebody who has had a variety of experiences, not only in IT, but at equal time, it seems, also in areas like marketing and on the operations sides of a variety of different organizations. I'm wondering if you can talk about the balance between your time in business and your time as the IT executive and how your prior experiences in areas like marketing and operations prepared you for your now several CIO positions that you've held.
Well, I think the interesting thing now that I look back on the whole kind of panorama of experiences is that I never started with the idea I was going to go into IT. I was just fascinated with business and fascinated with the various aspects of it. Mm-hmm. And kind of my natural skill set and my interest started me in marketing, which led me to operations. And then as I became more and more involved in operations, I realized that IT was the critical toolbox to be successful and to drive positive change, process re-engineering, mm-hmm. And improvements all the way through the business. Mm-hmm. And then I started to realize how much fun IT was and the phenomenal impact it could have if it were well managed.
Yes.
So then as I get into IT and start working with more and more IT people who have always been so focused on the technical side and just getting their portion of it done, being able to open up the world for them and help them understand how the pieces come together, how the puzzle pieces all link, and how powerful we are when we partner with the business, mm-hmm. that personally has been for me one of the biggest excitements because things really happen when that partnership happens. Mm-hmm. And when you've actually lived through the experience of managing the kinds of things that IT is supporting, you bring value to both sides of the table.
Yes.
And I can sit across the table with the marketing guys and talk about their challenges and their campaigns, you know, as a peer and as an IT executive. And it just opens up the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they see me as one of them.
Yes. Interesting.
Which is fantastic. And the same in operations. Now, it's interesting. I've been in operations in different industries. And, of course, they're all different to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all similar in many other areas.
For instance.
And so you just carry over the experience from one industry to another, and you fill in the blanks.
I see.
Is how I would explain it.
So, I see.
It's been fun.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I think in some ways you personify that alignment between the business and IT because of those experiences that you've had. Traditionally, I'm sure it's no surprise for you, and perhaps this is something you found in your initial dealings with IT and your former business roles, but the IT department and the various business divisions tend to have, even today to some extent, depending on the company and the industry, a different background, a different language used, a different set of training that has led them to the positions that they have. And in many ways, that can be that can lead to a divide, and sort of antithetical to what you're talking about in terms of building these bridges between the business and IT. It's no wonder that somebody like yourself, who sat on both sides of the table, can in fact embody that alignment. But I'm wondering how you've helped other people who've had more traditional IT backgrounds push towards understanding and anticipating business needs, becoming those sort of consultative partners to the business, and suggesting solutions accordingly.
Well, one of the first things that I've had to do in virtually every new IT shop that I've taken over is sell my own team on my philosophy of IT management.
Mm-hmm.
They lay out the philosophy, the values, you know, the expectations, you know, my whole approach to the partnership,
mm-hmm.
and why relationships are important, and why this works and will work in this new company, et cetera, et cetera. And that basically say, this is how I manage IT,
mm-hmm.
this is why the executive team brought me in,
mm-hmm.
and now this is what you're going to learn to be able to become part of this new philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But I spend a lot of time laying the groundwork and selling them on why in the long run that is going to make their lives better, more interesting, where they are going to bring more value to the company,
mm-hmm.
how that's going to impact them in terms of salary, bonus, opportunities, advancement, everything else. It all links together. And once you win them over and you have a group of, you know, people dedicated to that goal, then you start modifying your processes and your organizational structure and everything to support that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, in some cases, I had people who could not and would not buy into that philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, they left.
Yes. Yes.
Because it really becomes, you know, it's a culture that you adopt and live by every single day. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't sit around here bashing people on the business side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't call them those users, and they're not the enemy.
Right.
They're the reason we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, you have to really sell people and then hold them accountable to that kind of a business model.
Yes. Makes very good sense. I wonder, sticking with the theme that we've begun with, I wonder if you think that your path is one that's going to grow in prominence. That is, people who come from business backgrounds taking over as the IT executive within organizations. Is there something about your experience that you think is potentially universal, or do you think that it's a more unique path for the time being?
I actually think it's going to become more universal, and
uh-huh.
the reason I say that is that the younger generation, you know, the 30-somethings, have all grown up with technology
mm-hmm.
as just a standard part of their life.
I mean, great
point. It's just, you know, an understood part of living.
Mm-hmm.
So they're much more attuned to having tools available to them. So they don't have that hurdle. They don't have the, you know, anti-technology hurdle to get over. You know, 20 years ago may have been an issue. So we already start with people that are technology savvy in terms of using the toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have the discipline or the training of, you know, a lot of the technical side of being a CIO, but mm-hmm. those are learnable techniques, and you also have a team of people around you that supplement your skill set. So I actually think that people who have an ability to look at the company in a broad perspective and see it as an enterprise made up of the interlocking puzzle pieces of functional areas mm-hmm. and have a desire to manage a broad picture, people, in my mind, that potentially have the desire to be a CEO, mm-hmm. being a CIO is a great training ground for mm-hmm. that role mm-hmm. because you touch everything, you're involved in everything,
great points.
Understand all aspects of the business. Mm-hmm. So I really think that it's all about desire mm-hmm. and energy. You know, if there are people that are motivated to do more than just the job, mm-hmm. and you know, you have a business passion, uh-huh. you can be the CIO. Mm-hmm. And you can then parlay that into other opportunities as well, I think.
That's great. I think of all the people that we've interviewed thus far as part of the Forum on World Class IT, you have one of the most diverse array of experiences in terms of industries. You've worked in healthcare, insurance, consulting, manufacturing. Of course, you're currently working for a gaming company. I wonder, especially from an IT perspective, how you've gone about preparing for each of these new challenges. Obviously, each has had, I'm sure, unique attributes to them. Perhaps there were some common threads that you saw through each of those experiences as well, and I wonder if you can touch on that a bit.
Sure. I think every time I have gone into a new industry, you know, you always take the knowledge and the experiences from the previous ones with mm-hmm. you, and then you look for where things are different. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm lucky because I'm a quick study. I'm able to talk to a wide variety of people, get perspectives, and then organize it into my perspective, and then I keep testing that, mm-hmm. you know, over time. So, you know, I make myself a student, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that every industry has its own glossary of terms, mm-hmm. its own language. And the most important thing is from the very, very beginning, you immediately start learning the new language mm-hmm. of that business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's the thing. Nobody has it written down. It's not like somebody, you don't start your first day and they don't give you the glossary of terms. You
right.
create your own.
I see.
And frankly, I wish I had written them all down and kept a really good book of these because I could market this book.
Yeah, sure.
But the reality is you got to learn the buzzwords. You got to learn how they use them and what, and here's the real trick. What do they really mean at that company?
Right.
Because I've had terms that I've used in, you know, that have come to me in other industries, uh-huh. but they don't mean the same thing
right.
somewhere else.
Right.
You really, really have to be a great big sponge. You have to test all your assumptions and perceptions and really, you know, make sure that you're not falling into a, oh, I know it all mode.
Uh-huh. But
actually, people love it when you're a new mm-hmm. Executive, and you're open, and you're asking questions, and you're mm-hmm. asking for their help and for their insights and for their guidance, because then they see that you're really open to learning a lot.
That's
now,
great.
Here's the other thing. Just because it is what it is at that company mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's right. It's just it is what it is.
Exactly,
and then
exactly.
You look for the opportunities to say, okay, now how can I take what I know, and now I know what they know, and how can we make it better? How
right.
can we partner to take things up to the next level? I'm going through an issue right now, for example, on a governance issue mm-hmm. with a major project. And it's a business project. There is an IT component, which isn't even that significant. Mm-hmm. But what I can see from my perspective is that the governance piece of this isn't working well.
Right.
And it's my responsibility to work with our COO and other key executives to say, okay, here's a way to manage a massive project a little more successfully mm-hmm. that will allow us to be primed to handle issues. It'll be a better way for you to be able to track the critical path from your executive perspective. Mm-hmm. Here's how I would structure it. Here's how, you know, if I were putting an IT project team together, I know how to do that, obviously.
Yes.
I'm going to take that knowledge, the business knowledge, and give them a solution that could potentially be worth millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an added value of having somebody with that broad vision mm-hmm. as part of the team.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Now, they won't, here's another aside.
Please.
They won't accept that idea unless I've got fabulous relationships already built.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because
exactly.
Why would anybody listen to me unless I were a valued, trusted member of the team and
exactly.
I'm looking to help the team. So fortunately, I have that environment here, so I'm very excited about being able to share ideas and come up with better solutions.
That's great, and I think in some ways it returns back to the point of business alignment, of making sure that you're building those bridges, building those relationships with the business. And I suppose as part of that, also building, at least at the initial stages of a relationship with any of these new companies in the several industries we talked about, building those relationships with a team of people who've been there for a long time and using and determining and finding that tribal knowledge that you were talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Well, great. I wanted to move on to... in the past, you've discussed the sort of push and pull relationship between the focus on stabilizing one's infrastructure and taking on new projects, accepting risk, and so forth. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you've taken and thought about that push and pull between those. Which those are two factors that, in some ways, can be at odds. And I know that a lot of executives have put thought into, and at times perhaps even struggled with the how best to manage those two different worlds.
Yeah, that is always a challenge. But here's the beauty of when you walk in the door and you're the new CIO, you have that magic time period to assess what's happening in that company. And
yep.
you have the ability to say, I have evaluated your infrastructure. Now it's our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
here are the things that need to be dealt with and need to be dealt with in this kind of a priority, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I've done is link it to the major projects that they have on their radar and
mm-hmm.
say, these are all fabulous projects, and I, you know, we all need and want to do them, but they're not achievable without this.
Mm-hmm.
And help them understand, not from a technical perspective, but from a business perspective, you know, that there's, you know, a foundation that you build these things on.
Yes.
And I've had to take a stand on a few occasions where I've said, you know, I absolutely draw the line here and cannot move forward without addressing these situations.
Right.
And again, when you've built up the relationships and you've built up the credibility, they will accept it. And so far, I've been really lucky. And I think it just takes time. The
mm-hmm.
first year of being a new CIO, whether it's an industry you're familiar with or whether it's a new one, is always probably the toughest because there's so much foundational work to be done.
Yes.
And you probably end up also inheriting a bunch of stuff that probably should have been done before the other person left.
Exactly.
So
needless
it's,
to say.
It's, you know, juggling that. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, the connection of the big new sexy projects linked to the importance of a solid foundation and helping people understand that, that's really key.
That's great. Interestingly enough, you began your stint with Ameristar as an interim CIO, and I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that experience of having joined a new company and, in fact, a new industry as an interim and how you thought about that preparation as an interim CIO initially.
Well, it was so interesting because it's not, you know, I've been a CIO for a number of years, and I thought, well, I can do this on a consulting basis. And I figured, you know, for 3 months I could hold it together while they were in the process of finalizing the recruiting and hiring of a new CIO.
Yes.
And, I figured, man, I could do anything for 3 months. So I really wasn't too concerned about, you know, learning everything there was to know about the gaming industry.
Right.
I figured, you know, there's holes in the dike, and I'll put my fingers in them, and we'll get by. But it's, you know, there must be something about me that just didn't feel good. I'm not a hole in the dike kind of a person, and so as I was getting, you know, involved and understanding the issues and I really couldn't help myself. I attacked it as if I was going to be the full-time CIO.
Right.
And here's the crazy thing. The more I did that, the more engaged I got, and then I couldn't leave. I looked at everything as, you know, my team, my company. I could not hold myself, you know, kind of in an aloof mode. I'm all or nothing. I really have learned that.
It's very interesting.
So when they kept coming to me and saying, you know, we're interviewing these candidates, but Shalene, you know, you're really, you know, doing, you know, starting out well and people are comfortable with you and we're not so sure we want to hire these other people. And I'd say, oh, you know, you probably need somebody smarter. You probably need somebody with more industry experience. You probably need somebody younger, you know. But I kept doing the job, and, you know, the end of my contract came up, and they said, well, you know, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we have final, and I'm managing the interviews of my successor. And I said, we have these final interviews, and I guess then we'll have to make a decision. And I interviewed these final two candidates, and I thought about it, and I thought, I can't give them my department.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the CEO, and I said, you know what? I think I need to throw my hat in the ring now, because these people can't do the job the way I think it needs to be done. And he just laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing. He said, finally, we've been, you know, hoping you would come to that conclusion. And so I just stayed. The staff was immensely relieved. People that I had been interviewing for other roles, even in the department of VP and a director, all said, gee, if you were going to be there, Shalene, I would come work for you. But since the CIO role isn't defined, I'm not going to make a commitment till the new person is hired.
Interesting.
And then I had the joy of calling them and saying, hey, we made a decision. The CIO's been hired. Do you want to come back in for an interview? And they were like, well, who is it? Can you announce it? And I just laughed. I said, yeah, it's me. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm in.
That's
so
great.
So, it was the craziest, I would say, set of circumstances. But the message that I kept getting was, stick with it. You know, you're enjoying it. You're seeing progress. People are responding on the business side and the IT side. I'm recruiting really strong folks. Keep going, you know. And that was before, though, I hit summer in Vegas. When it got to 115 and 118, I started questioning my sanity. But, you know, like I said before, you can do anything for 3 months.
That's right, exactly. Even make it through a Vegas summer.
I made it through. And so the next Vegas summer, I made sure I traveled to the properties a lot.
Yes. Sounds like a very good plan.
And actually, that had big benefits, because it was the most time anyone from corporate IT had ever spent at the properties, and I launched my enterprise-wide philosophy of IT management, and that's been like phase two of, you know, it was the relationships first, and now the second piece is the enterprise-wide management, and then the third piece will be centralization.
That's great. Very, very good. Yeah, actually, I wonder if you could take actually a moment and talk a little bit about the push-pull of managing. You have not only the corporate IT responsibilities, but as you allude to, also property IT responsibilities, which is essentially the field in a gaming environment. And I wonder how you have balanced developing ideas and disseminating them to the properties versus culling interesting ideas that might be emerging from one property that have broader application, and other sort of lessons that you've learned from that.
That has been an evolving process, and I learned very quickly that the people in the IT corporate office, for the most part, had very limited experience in the field. So we truly had an ivory tower kind of mentality.
I see.
And it limited our ability to have credibility with our own property teams. So I did a couple things besides my own traveling and getting out there and building, you know, those relationships. I also brought in one of the top property IT directors onto my corporate team. She has been an absolute gem in terms of bridging that gap and bringing the real world of casino IT management to the corporate office.
Mm-hmm.
She's also helped me find the things that would make the most sense to standardize.
I see.
Early in the process. So that was an amazing, I would say, victory.
That's
so
great.
The second and third piece of it was, how could I leverage the people that I have out at the properties in a more effective way? And that grew out of a necessity as well as, you know, a creative solution, because our staff was downsized here in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, we have all these projects, we have all these initiatives, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to leverage everybody in the enterprise to the extent we possibly can.
I see.
And so then there became another kind of, you know, I had to market this idea as well, which is, okay, we're all part of one team, all skills, all talent, all resources are literally in one pool.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to figure out how we leverage people and skills across the pool.
I see.
For projects that could be corporate, could be enterprise, or could be property.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take property ideas that have value and enterprise-wide them so that everybody gets the value out of those initiatives.
Interesting.
So it took a while for that idea to take hold, because people were so used to being in their silos.
Yes.
And they were pretty comfortable. But, you know, we had one or two successes that I think helped break the old paradigm. And one of them was in regard to reporting. One of our properties developed a better way of doing some reports.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it with a tool that they, you know, I would say, installed and got operational very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we leveraged that to become an enterprise-wide solution and solve some problems at another property and then another property. It reduced license costs. It, you know, we had a template then for standard reporting. Now we have a bigger business-driven project where we're going to standard reporting tools, and, you know, it's just little things like that that start making a pretty big difference.
Yes.
And we've taken project managers out of different locations and given them enterprise-wide projects to work on, and they've been able to, you know, really stretch their wings and grow and have a lot, you know, have challenges that they probably never would have had.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early days, I was literally tapping them on the shoulder and giving them kind of this, you know, one-on-one talk, begging them, please take this challenge. I know you can do it. I'm not going to let you fail. You know, please try this. Trust me. And now people are coming to me and saying, when can I get an opportunity like that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. My shop's in good order. I'm ready.
That's great.
And it's been really fun watching that evolution, and even watching the general managers of the various casino properties recognize that they can get help and support from other operations. It doesn't all have to be homegrown.
Yes. Well, that's great. Very interesting stories about how that path that you've walked down with your team. I wonder actually if I can as a closing question. I wanted to get your perspective as a female CIO. I assume that when you during your first stint as a CIO several experiences ago, as you looked around the technology landscape, you probably didn't find so many female peers, or maybe even female IT colleagues for that matter. And I'm wondering how you've seen that change and evolve through the course of your experiences.
Yes, and when I go back, and I will actually cite the year so everybody knows. So it was 1993 is when I had my first CIO role.
I see.
And frankly, I did not know any other female CIOs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I also did not have very many female IT employees.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly
mm-hmm.
at the manager level, there weren't any.
I see.
And so I inherited a staff of all men, and not only were they not excited about the fact that there was some chick brought in for this role, but because I was non-technical, that made them even more uncomfortable.
Right, right.
So it was very interesting. Now, the thing is that I've learned about being a CIO, you are so damn busy, you don't even ever think about gender at all. But what is interesting to see now is, you know, these years later, there are women in all levels of mm-hmm. IT, operations and management,
mm-hmm.
and there are many female CIOs. And my take is that the role requires a tremendous amount of energy, ability to multitask, and see the big picture all
mm-hmm.
at one time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge component with the relationship building and maintaining that, and then the other component of developing people.
Yes.
And I think that many women have skill sets that allow them to successfully juggle all those roles all
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Great point.
And if they have the drive and the energy and the desire to play a major role in a company, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a very nice fit there.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. Well, Shalene, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it too. Thanks for allowing me to go down my IT memory lane.
Fantastic.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it's nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Christian Dooley. Our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.